Today on the Cooligans, we are doing a special end of the season superlative spectacular. We'll talk about all of our favorite players, moments of the European season.
That's right. Plus, we do our best 11 of Europe. What do you think about the choices we made? Who's right? Who's wrong? That and more today on the Cooligans. Going to a wedding next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's a destination wedding. Mm. I don't know if it counts as destination wedding.
A final destination
wedding?
Let's
go. It is for the bride and groom.
All right.
It's 4-hour drive. Is that a destination wedding?
You're staying over. No, it's not destination. I mean,
that's a destination wedding.
I guess it is a destination. It's not the destination probably anyone wants to be at.
For a lot of people, they're flying. I would, first of all, if you found out where I was going, I think you'd agree. They're like, we can zip line. I'm like, your boy ain't zip lining, bro. That's not happening. But they want to do a very non-traditional. So there's not going to be an actual ceremony. There's going to be a dinner. And at some point in the dinner, they're going to stand up. They're going to get married. They're going to be wed.
Okay.
And then they're going to sit back down. And in the invitation, it says, you know, there's no need to dress formal, just no jeans. Why? Why are you making me figure out this puzzle of what to wear now?
Mm.
Now this has led to me looking like, hey, this is what my wife does for every wedding. She'll message other people that are going to that wedding. She said, what are you wearing?
Mm-hmm.
And then they all compare. Oh, okay, you're going gown. All right, I'll go gown too. I'm now doing this with the homies. I'm now hitting up, yo, homie, what you wearing? I was going to wear a suit. Yo, they said not formal. All right, maybe I'll do a suit and t-shirt. I'll do a suit and t-shirt. You wearing sneakers or dress shoes? I'm now having to do this with like 30 different people. I do not want to do this. You either have a regular ass wedding the way we've decided weddings look and feel,
sure.
Or you need to specify what I wear.
Okay. Yeah, because giving people the option can lead to a lot of confusion.
Well, what's it called? Like, option fatigue or decision fatigue. There's too many options.
Decision fatigue. Yeah.
Yeah, it's too much, bro. Like, what if I wear a soccer jersey? Am I allowed? Yeah. You said no jeans.
You have that, like, tuxedo soccer jersey.
I do.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll rock that. It's too formal. I got to take it off and go put on a Manchester United one, something from the slums.
Okay.
It's just upsetting. It's like, don't make me figure it. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to bring a suit. I'm going to be one of three people wearing a suit.
The
three people.
You don't want to overdress either. That's the issue with, putting the guests in this situation. Yeah. Okay.
And now the smart thing is to just go way overdressed. Go tux.
Mm.
Be the only guy in a fucking tux with
bow tie,
a tail.
Monocle.
Absolutely.
Monocle.
Cane.
My Tim's on.
100%. But the heels. Like Eve used to wear.
Okay. We are dating ourselves. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
It's a special Memorial Day episode. We are pre-taping this because we are taking the day off.
That's right.
But we
technically not. We're working right now.
We're working right now.
We just worked ahead of time.
We're working earlier than the schedule. This is like when I was in
elementary school. And I used to do the homework the moment the teacher said what the homework was.
Mm.
So when I went home, my mom's like, you're not doing homework. I'm like, your boy did it already.
Look at that.
I just took the home out of it.
Okay. What a great idea. I wish you would have kept up that work ethic.
Yeah. What are you talking about? I went out and I hired someone who does all the work. His name is Christian. What's up, everyone?
But today's a special episode. Since obviously we're recording this before the weekend. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen it in the matches. Last weekend of the Premier League, but we decided this time.
Also, who cares?
I mean, yeah, there's not
it's
that
over.
Much. I take especially the relegation part, especially as an Everton fan, that's where the adrenaline kicks in. Yeah, right? Being an Everton fan is like the movie Cranked, you know, with Jason Statham.
You gotta keep getting that shot. We're so young and vibrant, folks.
That's what Everton did to me. But
now it's just Champions League, getting relegated out of Champions League.
Exactly. So today we've decided to do a little bit of a European season superlative. So we're going to be focusing on Europe and you know, team of the season, best moments, who surprised us, all
the
that.
Superlatives, bro.
Exactly.
Class clown.
Exactly. Who was a class clown in the top five European leagues?
What were you in high school? Were you best dressed? You one of them nerds? What was your thing?
I think your best dressed. That's a good thing.
I best dressed always went to people with no personalities.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is, that's a
what? That's facts.
We should do a podcast about this.
If you
bro.
Got no personality, you went like whatever school pride or whatever, or best dressed. That was it.
Okay. Anyway. My high school, we didn't really have superlatives. I went to a very small school, so like my graduating class was like, I think it was like 32 students,
right?
And we just like, I, even our yearbook didn't have like the superlatives.
It was a pamphlet. That's tiny, bro. That's a tiny ass school,
it was a,
bro.
It was a little
trifold
mini-
joints. Is this a Chinese this food restaurant like- menu? No, that's my high school yearbook right there.
No, it was like we had like our own 2 pages, and then we got to design what we wanted those 2 pages to be, and we didn't have to, any like superlatives.
Your high school did not set you up for
like,
the world.
I mean, it's not much of a shock. I wasn't as confident as I am right now. Damn. You know what I mean? But no, I was very shy. I was very shy kid.
Really?
Most of, yes.
Not me.
Yes.
I was. For 8th grade, they didn't do superlatives. They did like, what if, like the reverse? Mm-hmm. Like, what if Christian was bad at basketball? You know what I mean?
Right.
For me, it was, what if Alexis took anything serious?
Classic.
Messed me up. Wow. Existential crisis number one.
Okay. Yeah. So let's do our European season superlatives. We're going to start very quickly with team of the season.
Let's go with best 11 for the year. Why don't you give me yours?
All right, pull it up on screen.
Here we go.
How exciting is this?
Look at the money we have available.
Yahoo is invested in the Cooligans project. But no, if you're watching this, if you're only listening to this, you're missing out on the graphics. But we got my team of the season, and
this is impressive so far.
Okay, so
let's start. What, you want to go from the back? You want to start from the back, like it's your girl's birthday? Or you want to start from the top?
Okay. Man, this is
like, you pick.
We really merge a lot of worlds on this program.
We're in the middle of a Venn diagram for sure.
But yes, Gianluigi Donnarumma.
There we go.
Which sounds like a name, an Italian brain rot name. But Donnarumma has been fantastic this season. Obviously, the Champions League final, the goalkeeper, he's going
to
be there.
When did he take the boot to the face? Was that this season?
That was this season.
It's
early
crazy,
this year,
bro.
Right?
Yeah, early, I'm walking around looking like Scarface.
I'll go quick. The defenders. Denzel Dumfries, who's at right back, who's been incredible this season. Gabriel Magalhães, Virgil van Dijk, and Nuno Mendes.
Can't go wrong.
There's solid shouts. And then in midfield, Alexis McAllister, Pedri, Declan Rice, and then
Alexis McAllister was an interesting one.
This is, I think he has been a.
I feel like the most questions were in midfield.
Underrated, this season. Obviously, a big factor of why. Now, it's also credit Liverpool winning the league, but also winning it was never really that close.
It was
close.
Never in question.
It was just so unbelievably consistent, and he's been a big reason for that.
I agree, he had a great season. I didn't put him in my best 11, but
okay,
I get your point why. But who are your forwards?
And then my forwards will be Rafinha. I think that's not too much of a shock to most people. Kylian Mbappe up top. And Mohamed Salah on the right wing. And,
interesting.
And Mohamed Salah, who I think is... who probably should win the Ballon d'Or. His goal and assist, the goal contributions were like
the most ever,
47 or something
like that.
And I think in all competitions, he has just had a, I think because we're sort of used to a sort of standard from him, it's not as impressive because, yeah, especially, and then I think the importance of the goals, right? I mean, they didn't get too far in Champions League. Lamine Yamal sort of stealing, they play in the same position, and he's just been more exciting, right?
Yeah.
But the consistency that Mohamed Salah has had this year, it's the reason why he got that new contract. And he's just been fantastic. So he's my Ballon d'Or shout, but that's my team this season.
Yeah, and look, our mine isn't going to look too crazy different, which, by the way, we didn't talk about ours.
No, we did not.
We didn't share any information, and it came out pretty similar. So let's pull mine up. I think you'll be impressed, right? I want to start from the back. I don't want to take my time there. You know what I mean? Really show them that they're loved, you know, and I appreciate everything. Of course, Donnarumma. Damn, I said start from the back, and that name has my wife's name in the beginning. That's crazy. That's crazy. I just realized that. I just put that all together.
Yeah. your lovely wife, Ruma.
Yeah. Donna for sure. Donnarumma. Definitely just an incredible season. And at times, you think he's not really as good as the hype that he had when he was young. And he continues to not only live up to it, but live like beat expectations. And incredible season so far, especially in Champions League. For the back line, you went right back to left back. So I'll do the same thing. We differentiate here a little bit. Hakimi, for me, just proved how versatile he is. The player every Liverpool fan thinks Trent Alexander-Arnold is Hakimi. He's absolutely incredible going forward. He's absolutely incredible tracking. He's even better defensively. He can track back. He's got that speed. He's got that pace. He creates problems for anyone down whatever side he's playing on, typically on the right.
I would say Trent is better going forward, but Hakimi's
better in the final third. Trent's better sending diagonal passes.
Okay, yeah, I get
and maybe that. Even in free kicks.
Sure.
For me, Bastoni. Bastoni continues to prove that whatever it is that Inzaghi has in his brain is really, he's the only person that could figure it out and somehow works. There are moments where Bastoni's passing to another center back in the final third and like purposefully. It's not even during a corner. This is like purposefully. Bastoni is so versatile. He's a player that is absolutely a great center back and absolutely really, really good 1v1, but is so versatile. He could play almost every other position on the pitch if asked. And to me, the future of defenders. In Bastoni, Gabriel Magalhães had another incredible season. My group chat won't stop roasting me for wanting him sold a few years ago when Arteta said he wasn't part of the plans anymore. I bought in, and now I can't get stopped roasting for it. And then obviously Mendes as well. For midfielders, you and I separate a little bit, right? We both said Declan Rice, and we both said Pedri. For me, Vitinha deserves a shout. This is PSG heavy, but the season PSG had, both in club football and European football, like in domestic league and European football, absolutely incredible. For me, Vitinha is one of the most important reasons why they had the season they had. He is such a stable force in that midfield. He allows everyone else to go forward, and he allows everyone else to defend behind him. And he's so powerful in both of those positions that for me, he had to be part of my best 11. So I put Vitinha in there. Okay. Do you disagree there?
Yes, I do disagree. I mean, it's not necessarily upsetting because they did make it to the Champions League final, and he's been a big part of that. As far as just when you look at it on paper, Vitinha didn't contribute that much, but he does a lot more than just goals and assists.
Honestly, I could have said the same thing about McAllister, even though he does get more stats.
Yeah.
Gravenberch is probably just as much an important part of that midfield as Alexis McAllister.
Arguably.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think this is why it's tough when it comes to midfielders. But for me, Vitinha does all those little things. You're like, damn, he's always in the right spot. He always makes the right choice. I absolutely love Vitinha. And then for my starting forwards, I went with Rafinha and Mohamed Salah as well. Even though I was trying my hardest to figure out a way to put Mohamed Salah and Lamine Yamal on the pitch at the same time.
That's the same problem I had.
Big difference for me was I went Jokeres. And I just think he had a standout season. He had a season, a unicorn season in front of goal. He had one of those seasons that people will go back and talk about, like, yo, blah, 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 like Michu had. I don't know if it continues beyond the season. I don't know if he can translate, you know, his Sporting Club de Portugal season to a Premier League or wherever he goes, Serie A. I don't know if he can translate it. But for right now, this season, to me, he was the most impressive forward and consistency across the board. Even after Amorim left, it took him a little bit, but he kind of picked the scoring back up.
This one is the one for me that is just like such a ridiculous inclusion, because
you don't think Jokeres deserves to be a part of it?
I mean, he deserves to be in the conversation. But
he even scored in Champions. Don't forget, he was in Champions League. He was bodying.
He was, but over Kylian Mbappe, I think is absurd. Kylian Mbappe did it in the Super League. Scored 43 or 40, something.
Yeah, over 40 goals.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. Jokeres is great, and I think he has a very, very bright future.
I put an asterisk on Mbappe's season, and maybe I'm the only one who does that, because without Real Madrid winning Champions League or La Liga, it's tough for me to think you've made that team better.
Okay, that is fair.
He had a great individual season.
The standards are high, but that's what the team of the season is.
Individual season, but when you wear that shirt, but we're also rating PSG players a little higher because they're getting to Champions League final.
Well, yeah, because yes, that is valid. They're playing more games and tougher games, and they that is a factor. But you would also think about their contributions in those games as well. And Mbappe is not the reason why they lost
I never said he was the reason.
That's all I'm saying, yeah.
But you have to punish a player a little bit for their team not being great.
Damn, punish. Okay.
That's right.
All right. Next.
Damn, start from the back, punish. All right. Okay. BDSM, bro. Right. What's your safe word? Jokic?
All right. Best transfer. What do you...
You want to go first?
I'll go first.
Come
I mean,
on, hit me, because you need to... Actually, let me go first, because mine's pretty easy.
Okay.
I need you to explain yours. For me... Dean Huijsen, and yeah. I'll explain. One of my favorite sauces, hoisin sauce. Two,
real sauce.
Hoisin sauce is real. Here's why I picked him. He cost $17 million, and they flipped him immediately to Real Madrid in the following season. And yet, obviously, he was very useful for them, clearly was very impressive and very good. I mean, you're looking at it here, 31 matches, 3 goals and an assist. I mean, at the end of the day, who really cares your goals and assists? The most interceptions on the team. He's an incredible defender, and to grab someone, to be a team at the level of Bournemouth, to go out and buy somebody from a pretty big club and then immediately be able to sell him to a much bigger club for triple, 4 times the amount, that's great business. And that, to me, it's got to be one of the best transfers.
I don't disagree with any of it. I mean, I just also just saw Dean Huijsen play against Man City and got pretty much cooked. And he's, I mean, but it is Man City. And no,
because
Erling
the
Haaland.
Transfer is why I put it in
the
there.
The transfer. So yeah.
Also, defenders are going to have one or two gonna, bad
yeah,
games.
Yeah. So he's a great player. He has an incredibly bright future. My choice was Mikel Merino. Because I took more consideration into the contributions to the team. And
I want everyone to remember, I'm the Arsenal fan here, and you're saying Mikel Merino.
I was trying to think of like best transfer. What are the factors of like what makes it a very good transfer? I think his inclusion in the team and adapting incredibly quickly.
You mean because he was asked to play striker and he did a pretty good job of it?
Well, not even that part. Just even as a midfielder, there's something, you know, and credit to, you know, there's something Arsenal does a good job of, like, scouting certain players that who they're like, this is an Arsenal player. This is somebody that can
embodies the Arsenal way.
Plays, that follows, that can fit in the system, the style of play, and then that can be, you know, fans will be happy with, him being brought in. But he was just and then having to play striker. And then as soon as being put in that position and still being like, when the game before Real Madrid against the in Champions League, we were just like, I mean, we don't have, you know, every Arsenal man was like, we don't have a striker. Yeah. I mean, if we can not get blown out, that'll be a good result. And he gets goals in those fixtures. He gets assists in those fixtures. He was incredibly it's not even like, I don't think he's not, obviously he didn't help them like win the league. They didn't get to that point, but Arsenal continuously being in second place and having a deep run in the Champions League, I think he's a very big part of it. Given all the injuries and stuff like that, he adapted and adjusted well. So I thought that was a good, I feel like it's a very good transfer for Arsenal.
I don't disagree. I think I hold against them the fact that he wasn't able really to find his place in the midfield. He was brought in as a midfielder. And we really didn't see him shine until he was asked to be striker.
I disagree with that completely.
We didn't see him shine. He didn't have a consistent place in the midfield. No one knew exactly why he was being brought in, other than the fact that he's a duel winner, and he wasn't even winning that many duels.
I think he's a great. I think he's a great, even as a substitute or whatever.
Sure, but he wasn't brought in to be a sub.
I get it, but
that's the only thing I hold against
them. It still worked out pretty well.
I don't disagree with you, but I hold against them. I put a little asterisk that he didn't really solidify himself a spot in the midfield, and then all of a sudden he's a great striker, so he's getting used a lot more.
Sure.
And by great, I mean he was an able body who scored. I don't think anyone would go out and transfer him into their team just to be a striker.
Of course. All right.
All right, so why don't we go with biggest disappointment? I'll go first on this one. It's hard to consider it a disappointment because it feels like, you know, it feels like we've watched this Titanic been slowly sinking for years, but Manchester United to go out and get the guy that was a surefire manager in Ruben Amorim, to get rid of Erik ten Hag, who I felt like did a little bit, but wasn't doing enough to really solidify the place for or really put Manchester United back where they're supposed to be. The Manchester United that we all know, and again, neither one of us are Manchester United fans, but I think we both agree the world of football is in a better place if Manchester United is playing well and is a tough team to beat and is drawing attention and drawing eyes and playing in Champions League. And for them to finish all the way at the bottom of the table, just outside of those relegation spots, and for seemingly there to be so much work that needs to get done to get this team back into the spot, plus the stadium is leaking, plus, you know, people are being fired, plus, you know, the historians of the club are getting sacked and there's no food and there's no money. there's like seemingly a laundry list of issues that I don't know how they fix this. That, to me, has got to be the biggest disappointment. Not one thing went right for them. Nothing.
Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with you there. To me, it's like, it's not one of those, you know how sometimes parents are like, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
This is like, I'm mad. It's like
I'm
beyond.
I'm also disappointed, by the way. But yeah, I'm kind of mad right now.
It's chaotic. The team has so many institutional problems that it's like, biggest disappointment is not even most enough for what Manchester United are going through. But I understand. My biggest disappointment in Europe, for me, AC Milan. AC Milan getting just a very mediocre season, missing out on European football. And obviously having players like, American players and Christian Pulisic and Yunus Musa miss out on playing in Champions League or even Europa League or anything like that, especially when, the World Cup is a year away. That is like, for me, the right word is disappointing, because I'm watching games, especially when they had the who was the manager?
Paulo Fonseca.
Paulo Fonseca was the manager beforehand, and then Conte looks like he's not even staying now.
I mean, who could you after this?
And it's an embarrassing run of form. The last the last few games with Fonseca, the Conceição didn't really fix it. I mean, they won the Supercoppa Italia, and that was, so you thought like, all right, this is what's gonna bring the vibes in and bring in Santi Jimenez, and it's just I'm watching games and I'm just like, what is this?
Yeah,
like it's
they don't even know who they are.
And it's so odd from finishing second last year to what it is now. And it's just everybody who you sort of expect, that really the only player that kind of shows up is Christian Pulisic and Tijani Reinders.
Reinders is a big piece of it, yeah.
But something is really missing. I don't know if it's, whether it's Rafael Leão not getting, I think he gets like a lot of unfair criticism, but bro, it's, and you would have to put it on the manager, because it's so sad to see what you know this team could be, and it's not like they don't spend a lot of money and all this other stuff, but it just unfortunate. And I wonder if Christian Pulisic even stays there.
I wonder if he stays. I kind of, part of me hopes he does, and part of me hopes he doesn't. And I will say, a lot of it, once they let Maldini go from the front office, you can't get rid of a proven winner. Just can't.
Sure.
Look what happened.
All right, next up, what is the best moment in the European season?
You want to go first? Sure, yeah. I'll go first. For me, I'm an Arsenal fan. Everyone knows that, but I'm a fan of the sport. I'm a fan of the storylines. I'm a fan of the drama, the soap opera sometimes. And sometimes good things happen, and it feels like even your biggest rivals are kind of happy for you. And I'm not necessarily sure that's exactly the case here, but it feels like the footballing world was really happy for Crystal Palace to finally win a trophy. I mean, I just think of, all the Crystal Palace fans that I know, top of the list, Rebecca Lowe, man.
Sure, sure.
So happy for her. I'm so happy for all my Crystal Palace friends who really had nothing to root for. Andrew Mento, we've had on the show, big Crystal Palace fan, his cousins on the team. Those are the moments where you're like, man, this is a cool story. This is going to be a moment that fans and fans of this team are going to have for forever, where they were in that moment. And I got to watch that moment as well. I'm really happy for Crystal Palace and their fans. Sure.
I mean, you mentioned Andrew Mensah having a cousin on the team. Yes, he also scored in the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
The only goal of the game.
Yeah.
but yes, outside of the not called red card, I don't want to take away from the moment.
Listen, sometimes footballs, bro.
I mean, but it was an incredible moment. For me, the biggest, even though that's a very sweet moment, but I think for me and for Everton fans, and this may sound a little corny to a lot of people because it wasn't in a victory, but it felt like one. But James Tarkowski scoring at the final.
Are you kidding me?
The final Merseyside derby at Goodison Park, scoring that late equalizer, the center back scoring this absolute banger past Allison, and Goodison Park went nuts. The celebrating was it was celebrating like you won the game, but it was an incredible closure to Goodison Park and the Merseyside derby. But that was one of my favorite moments of the season. That was incredibly exciting, even though it was just a draw.
I can see the smile on your face, but this seems really self-indulgent. I ain't gonna lie to you.
That was great. A lot of people were happy with it.
I see all the newspapers talking about it. All the publications are bringing that up as as the moment of the season. All right, so we had the best moment. What about the surprise club of the season?
I'll go with Nottingham Forest because...
How could you not? Right?
Yeah, I mean... From last season where they finished 17th, I believe, or 16th, something like that. And they were docked points last season. And this time around, and by the time this comes out, we will know if they already qualified for Europe, but we don't know if they qualify for Champions League. But they might be in the Champions League. They will have effectively doubled, more than doubled their point total from the previous year, which is incredible. And so incredibly impressive. And it's one thing, I'm like, as an Everton fan, I'm like, how the hell do you do that? What did you change?
Why didn't we get that script? Yeah.
What? Yeah. It's just like, are you feeding them something that we're not? What Nuno's done is really, really impressive to be able to do that. Yeah. So
he might not stay.
Okay.
There's some rumors that he might go because of the dispute with Evangelinos.
Maranakis. Right.
I'm going to use yours to hopefully inspire my choice, which is going to go back to Manchester United.
Okay.
But a team finished in, what, 17th?
Yes.
You said? They're potentially going to finish either 16th or 17th. And that maybe can inspire them next season to not be this trash. Because this has just been a capitulation after capitulation after capitulation. Yeah. And I've already said enough, but Manchester United is my surprise club of the season for a negative.
How surprisingly bad. Yeah.
For how surprisingly bad. But maybe there is a chance next season. If you're a fan of Manchester United, look what happened to Nottingham Forest.
Okay.
Maybe this could happen to you. Go out and get Nuno, man.
That's what Manchester United need, to look at Nottingham Forest for inspiration.
Yeah. Remember, if you would have told someone that a few years ago, absolutely crazy.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, but we have a couple more season awards that we're going to talk about.
Player of the season,
right after this. So player of the season right after this.
All right. We're back. We've got a lot more to go over, including player of the season. Christian and Hemi, who you got?
I think I mentioned it or alluded to it earlier, but Mohamed Salah. I think what he's been able to do at his advanced age.
Oh, senior PGA Tour member.
It's impressive because it's been oddly subtle. Like I mentioned it before, like he has scored important goals. He scored a couple penalties, and it just because it was so consistent, it was almost like less impressive. But that's I'm not trying to knock the fact that he didn't score like too many like insane goals. They were just consistent. They helped the team stay consistent in the Premier League.
Now, he was unplayable for most of the season.
Mohamed Salah is my player.
I get it. And when we were coming up with our best 11s, I tried to find a way to take Mohamed Salah out of mine and put in my player of the season, which is Lamine Yamal. Mm-hmm. I mean, what an incredible... He's put himself on the map in a big, big way this year. It's getting to the point now where next year he's going to be playing with the number 10. It's getting to the point where people are already talking about he's better than, Lionel Messi at this age, than how Lionel Messi was at this age. This is incredible talk for a player that's young, and seemingly we haven't seen his ceiling. He's completely changed the fortunes of Barcelona around. it feels single-handedly, even though it's not. Obviously, there's a lot of great players on that team. Rafinha had an incredible season as well, just on the other side of the pitch. But Lamine Yamal is the name we all talk about. He's the player that every kid wants to wear their jersey. He is the new, like, oh, who's is it going to be Mbappe? Is it? It's Lamine Yamal is the guy. Yeah. That's the person we're all talking about. This was the year that he put himself, he ushered himself into that upper echelon conversation. He will be on the Ballon d'Or conversation from here on in. I don't think he wins it. I think Mohamed Salah beats him. But I think he will be part of the conversation from here on in.
Sure. Yeah, I think if, look, if Barcelona's in this Champions League final and Barcelona win, I would probably say, the Ballon d'Or would probably end up with Lamine Yamal. Yeah. Like, it was that, he was that impactful this season. All right. Manager of the season.
Why don't you go first?
My, maybe it's controversial. I don't think it is. But Arne Slot, mentioning Mohamed Salah and the consistency, and again the fact that it was basically never in doubt for Liverpool.
They ran away with the season.
There wasn't even a moment of like, oh, could,
yeah.
I mean, early in the season or whatever, but they were they ever not in first?
Probably in the first
or second week or whatever. But outside of that, and credit to just how the team played, but also. I don't know if you credit the manager or the physios or the staff, but like the fact that no one got injured, basically everybody was available the entire year.
Yeah, it was really frustrating as an Arsenal fan. I'm not gonna lie to you.
It was remarkable. So there's a little bit of luck there, I guess, with injuries. But Arne Slot was just—it's just like he's like the boring manager of the season. He just did his job and did his job incredibly well.
I'm going to go with Nuno Espirito Santo.
Nino Brown?
Yeah, dog, I mixed his name together. And I think what Arne Slot did is super impressive, but Nuno Espirito Santo did it with not that same type of player. Right. You know, Arne Slot walked into a really, a lot of good ingredients to cook a meal, where Nuno Espirito Santo had to convince some of these players. They saw what happened last few seasons, had to convince them that they're better than that, that they're bigger than that, and they certainly didn't. And to get what he got out of Chris Wood was out of this world. I mean, just the fact that Nottingham Forest is going to be in European football next season. We don't know if they qualify, if they clinch for a Champions League just yet. But the fact that they're going to be in European football at all is huge. It doesn't matter to me what level. I don't care if it's conference. To go from fighting for relegation to avoid relegation last season to this, absolutely incredible. Nuno Espirito Santo did something I didn't expect. I wish Gio Reyna would have stayed on the team now that I'm like thinking about it.
They wouldn't be in European football.
You don't know that. He'd be on our bench rooting them boys on. You know what I mean?
So, all right. Let's move on to best young player. Which is a U23 player. So it's not too much of a shock. But
who else are you gonna put?
Lamine Yamal. Is there anyone even that would come close as far as a young player? I mean, it might be another player on Barcelona. That's probably
I mean, I can't think of anyone else that even belongs in the conversation this moment.
Pedri I would say, is the only other one that really comes to mind.
Sure, but if you look at Barcelona, you think, which is the best young player on this team? You're going to go to Lamine Yamal. And what I love about Lamine Yamal is that he plays, I don't know if it's that young naivety, because we've seen young players do this before, where they play like, I'm not that impressed by you. Whatever, I could cut you up. I don't care if you have a mortgage. You know what I mean? I don't care if I had your poster on my wall. He plays with this confidence that he's like, you wish you were better than me. And I'm younger than your children. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
And he just does TikTok dances all day and scores bangers.
Yeah, dude. He tried to teach it by and PK how to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And them boys got no hips.
Okay. Next up, most improved.
We have the same one.
We got the same one as well, obviously. Nottingham Forest. Yeah. I mean, again, the improvement there has just been remarkable. It's not easy to have, from one season to another, to have that kind of improvement. It was same thing, like Everton and Everton, Leicester City and Nottingham were the ones dealing with the PSR charges.
Yep.
So dealing with all that drama probably behind the scenes and having this season is remarkable.
It's Wrexham without the cameras, bro.
Okay. All right. We're going to take one other break and then we'll get to a few other Cooligans awards, more specific ones for some more fun things.
Oh, maybe it'll be another Everton draw.
you all loved it. All right. We'll be right back. All right, let's wrap up these end of season awards with some Cooligans awards. Hey. Let's do some. We'll start with best kit. Mm. What was your favorite kit of the season in
this
Europe?
This wasn't easy because Europe is huge, right? I could have gone like those crazy like Greek kits, you know what I mean, for teams you've never even seen play, but you've seen their kits.
Yeah.
You know, I could have gone all over the place, but I'm going to go with Newcastle's third kit.
Okay.
I love when you bring back like the traditional old school badges, but it's not like the super, super old school badges from like the 1800s. It's those weird 70s ones where you're like, was the designer high as hell when they drew this? Yeah. Like Leeds United has that LU.
Always yes.
Yeah, of course, man. A good one is. And for me, this like NUF with the, I love this one. For me, the kit is clean. It's beautiful colors. This is the type of kit that you'll see people wearing casually in the future.
Yes. And the green accents are always kind of nice. I love... I love that little splash of color that makes things.
You
stand
makes
out.
You excited about that? What sneakers are you gonna get that has that little bit of green and black and white in it? Oh.
Okay, yes, and we got to get the matching fitted with the color of the NBA team that correlates right. with.
It's always the Pelicans for some reason. How is it always the Pelicans?
For me, another Premier League team, but the Manchester United third kit is. To me, gorgeous. It is, you talk about a shirt that you can wear like outside and you can wear it sort of casually.
Casual, yeah.
Manchester United kit is 100% one of them. It has just the nice, the bars on the top.
The stripes across the chest, always a good touch.
It's subtle. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It looks good. And yeah, so I'm just... a huge fan of this. This was it's a shame that, you know, this
it is white below that black bar. If you're watching, you can't see it because the lower third is blocking it, but it's beautiful.
It is a shame that this kit had to be associated with this season.
Because it's haunted.
The best looking kits are associated with one of the worst seasons in Manchester United history. But
you know what I love it as well? It's just the little red devil.
The little red devil. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's like colored in black, but it's just the devil. It's not the full badge. Same thing with like NUF. It's a little bit of an alternative badge.
I mean, it's our kids usually. You can have a little bit more fun.
Yeah. Everton just has the tower.
The little tower. Yeah. On the 30, I believe so. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's move on. How about best goal celebration?
All right. Here's where I show my Arsenal true colors. Miles Lewis Skelly. 17, 18 years old, sitting down, doing the back to Erling Haaland. This was, for me, I love it, man. He had no fear. And what I love most about this is the conversation that started after, like, should you be allowed? Is this disrespectful? When Erling Haaland does it, everyone's like, hey, all right, especially in England, like, that's a good white man. But when someone else does it, well, that's not a good white man in their eyes, all of a sudden it becomes a big topic of conversation. Shouts to Miles Lewis-Skelly. Shouts to doing stuff like this. If you're young, it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're on the first team and you score a goal, son, celebrate however you want. I got your back forever.
Look at that. And look, the one season Manchester City is like basically struggling and in the mud. And then Arsenal still do not win.
I don't know what you're talking about. We got ours. We're going to have a parade. We're in second place.
But it was a lovely moment for sure. For me, my favorite goal celebration was, we were talking about Newcastle kits, but one of my favorite players in the Premier League, but Alexander Isak, his goal celebration, he did it a couple times this season, but look at this. Look at this idiot that
get
just
a
trying
load
to
of
get a load of this
guy
trying to defend me.
Who, me?
Because Mbappe had a similar one in Champions League, kind of like
that was more situational though. Like,
it was like, look at that guy or whatever. But and that was like more like kind of laughing at the guy or like, oh, can you believe that? But Isak does the. You know when
You had balls to put him on me.
Yeah, no, but he does the thumb into the back and stuff, but he does the face of somebody who heard like a great bar in a rap song.
Yeah.
You know that face that and that that's what Isak is like, oh, can you believe this?
Whatever.
He's like, bro, I love the swag. And obviously Newcastle winning their first trophy in like 50 years and him being a big part of that was super cool. But Alexander Isak is my favorite.
I get it. I
goal
like
celebration.
It.
All right. That is it, everybody. That is the end of our special end of the season award superlative spectacular.
Yeah, let us know in the comments what your favorite episode of Cooligans was this season.
Okay. Okay. Well, let us know what you thought about our chodes.
What the hell?
Choices. You know, I mean, we've been talking for a long time. Yeah,
we have been. This is the eighth episode Carter's made us film today. So.
Okay.
It's 2 in the morning.
Yeah. Yahoo's very demanding. Yeah. But no, we appreciate it. We hope you had, you know, if you had a Memorial Day barbecue or whatever it is that you do. Yeah. I feel like it's not warm enough to raining.
It's cool. It's indoor barbecues.
Indoor barbecues exclusively.
That's use that, it, bro. Smoke out that living room, bro.
Get that propane in there.
You know, wheelhead joint in the house. Okay. Don't let them stop you. Take the fire alarm off or put the thing. What's the shower cap? Put a shower cap over it. Come on. Everybody remembers high school.
Anyway, thank you again, everybody, for tuning in. We always appreciate it. Shout out to if you want to join the community, join the Cooligans Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans. We have an awesome Discord with some great people, great community out there talking about a bunch of stuff or whatever. It's great. So we got a bunch of exclusive content on there, exclusive interviews and stuff like that. So go check it out. As always, make sure you hit the like button, hit subscribe, do your homework, do whatever you got to do to support the Cooligans. We appreciate
it. Do your homework, bro.
Yeah.
So take your vitamins.
Hope you had a good holiday, and we'll be back with a brand new episode this Thursday. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Peace.
Love you guys.